Welcome to Sunrise, the radio outreach of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Join us for the next half hour as we take a personal and up-close look at the Word of God with Pastor Scott Richards. Join us now as our teacher continues his study. Here's Pastor Scott.
You know, that wasn't some big heroic thing like, oh boy, I'm going to go down the golf course and by golly, I'm going to pray with somebody on the 18th hole. I'm all nervous. No, it's just being caught in the act of being yourself. And you know what? If we're cool about walking with Jesus, people are going to be cool about hearing about the love of Jesus. If we're not all stressed about it, not some big deal, oh, I got to drop my whammy on them and I got to win this debate. Man, just get caught in the act of being yourself in Christ. And like the church at Rome, let me tell you something. Your faith is going to start making an impact. Notice it says, for God is my witness, for whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means now I may find a way into the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by our mutual faith, both of you and me. You know, I love this. Because what Paul is saying is, look, I want to come to Rome not because I want to see the Colosseum. I want to come to Rome not just because it's the epicenter of commerce and, boy, some great connections could be made there. You know, what Paul says, man, I want to come to Rome because I want to bless you and I want to be blessed by you. Could you imagine how different our church experience would be if we came each Sunday morning or Wednesday night when we gather together with that agenda in mind? So many people walk away from church feeling kind of strangely unsatisfied. Like, wow, you know, I feel like I kind of missed the boat, you know? I've done my thing. I've put in my time. You know, the guy did his sermon. You know, stand up, sit down, fight, that sort of thing. You know, but it's the same old, you know, and then people feel empty inside. You know, let me tell you something. If you want to see that change, pray a dangerous prayer before you come to church. Lord, before I get out of church today, and all church means is a gathering of God's people, I don't want to be encouraged, Lord. I want to encourage somebody else. I don't want to be blessed. I want to be a blessing to somebody else. Not just my own little comfort crew, you know. The people that I'm connected with, man, maybe I can reach out beyond just what I think where I should fit in and how I should go through my motions. No, I want to reach out and make a difference in someone else's life. You know, in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, we are told not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together. Why? Because we are to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. And when you get out of church here today, can I ask you a question? How are you going to stimulate somebody? How are you going to push them, move them in a direction? Are you going to move them in the direction to say, boy, I never want to go back to that place again. Man, you know, these people are sanctimonious and self-righteous and judgmental, and, you know, I just didn't feel like... Or are you going to be the kind of person that puts yourself back in those shoes back when you were a rookie, back when you were a newbie, back when you didn't know how to hang out at church, back when you didn't know anybody, right? And you're going to make sure that what you would have wanted to happen to you is going to happen to somebody else. I guarantee you, you do that, you're not going to be dropping King James Bond motts on somebody's head. You're not going to be chasing somebody around with a Bible. You're not going to be sitting there going, oh, I've never seen you here before. Or, oh, church attendance is a little spotty lately, I know. You're not going to do any of that ridiculous stuff, right? You're going to be a blessing to people. That's what Paul was about. I want to come to Rome because I want to be blessed by you and I want to bring a blessing to you. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, Paul continues here in verse 13, that I often planned to come to you but was hindered until now, I might have some fruit among you, just as among the other Gentiles. I'm a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as it is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Can I ask you another challenging question here? What are you put on earth to do? What are you really here to do? Why are you still here right now? Don't take that in the wrong way. But why does God still have you here as a believer in Christ? I'll tell you, there's only one reason that God still has us here. And it's not to do Bible studies. I guarantee you, when you see the Lord face to face, thank the Lord you won't need me to try to explain the Bible to you anymore. You'll know it backwards and forwards when you see the Lord face to face, right? It's not praise, you know, although it's wonderful to enter into praise and it's wonderful to experience worship here on earth. I got to tell you, rumor has it, heavenly worship is going to have earthly worship beat all to pieces, right? You know, it's not about, you know, again, studying the Bible. It's not about worship. It's not even fellowshipping with one another. You know, Mark Twain once said that every man is like the moon who has a dark side that he shows to no one. You know, we've all got this wickedness, this fallenness, this evil that keeps us from fully receiving and relating the love of God. Heavenly fellowship going to be much better than that. No more dark side, right? So what are we still here to do? Let me simplify it for you. There's only one thing you and I can do better here on earth than we can do in heaven. And you know what it is? Reach lost people. Because there are no lost people in heaven. Stands to reason, that's why we're still here. You and I are here to impact people on the outside in, looking at the love of Jesus Christ, by letting them know through our lives and when necessary, through our lips, that there's a God out there who loves them, who gave his son to die for them, that this son rose from the dead in a moment of history, and that he can change your life. Boy, the Apostle Paul, the reason that he was so effectively used is like the old saying goes, there's no more effective advertisement than a satisfied customer. And in verse 16, we see just how satisfied Paul was. And this is probably one of the most profound passages you're going to find in the entire Bible. And I think you're going to see, I'm not just hyping this up to hold your attention here. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Notice, Paul wasn't ashamed of the gospel. Believe it or not, there was a lot of call for people to be ashamed of the gospel during that time. Believe it or not, the times of Rome, rumor had it about Christianity. It was something you just didn't want to be a part of. Dr. F.F. Bruce said, "The Christians of Rome were unpopular, reputed to be enemies of the human race." Not a real popularity contest there. "They were credited with vice such as incest and cannibalism. When they heard about Christians taking communion and eating the body and blood of Christ, they thought they were eating each other. In large numbers, then, they became victims of imperial malevolence. And it's this persecution of Christians under Nero that traditionally forms the setting for Paul's martyrdom." The reason that Nero bumped off Paul was that Christians were an easy target for Rome to blame all their problems on. You remember about the story of Nero fiddling while Rome burned? He wanted to burn down Rome and then rebuild it in his own image and likeness. Well, when he found out that wasn't really popular, he had to take the heat off himself, if you will. And so he blamed Christians. And the first mass persecution of Christians took place because people look at Christians, they're like, they're weird, they're different, they have strange rituals and so forth. And so because they were other, if you will, they were basically put down. What Paul said is, yeah, it's not popular to be a Christian, but guess what? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? "For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." God has one answer to everyone's greatest problem. We are all lost. We are all separated from God. We look in our hearts, and if we have any kind of introspection, any kind of honesty whatsoever, we come to this conclusion. You know what? If heaven's for good people, I ain't getting in. Because I'm not even good by my own standard. You know, people say, one of the greatest problems in the world today is that people have a guilt complex. I'll tell you why we have a guilt complex, because we're guilty and we know it. But here God has provided a way out of all this. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. There's no distinction ethnically, religiously, no matter what background you come from culturally, there is one answer to our sin problem, and that is the power of God manifested in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice why this is so key for us to understand. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Boy, I don't know if you're a Bible underliner or not, but underline that last line, the just shall live by faith. It's a quote from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, and verse 4. You know, you read through the Old Testament, because the book of Habakkuk, it's hard enough to pronounce, and you're kind of crazy. Oh, okay. Did you know that it takes three entire New Testament books to explain that simple phrase? The just shall live by faith. Three times Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4 is quoted in your New Testament. First, we find it in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews emphasizes that the just shall live by faith. Well, what is faith in God all about? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For the one who comes to him must believe that he is and is a rewarder of those who seek him. The whole letter of Hebrews is about explaining the word faith in that one scripture. The book of Galatians, it's all about living for God. Not on the basis of being made alive by following certain rituals or keeping certain commands. It's receiving the living power of God's Holy Spirit. The whole book of Galatians, quoting again the book of Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, is about what it means to truly live for God. Here in Romans, we see the emphasis placed on the word just. Who's really right with God after all? What does it mean to live a just and a righteous life? The just shall live by faith. That is such an amazingly profound thing. And that simple phrase, that simple quote from Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, did you know it changed the entire course of history? When one man grasped this, when one man grasped this truth. How many of you are familiar with Martin Luther? You've heard that name before, in the Protestant Reformation. Yeah, we've heard about Martin Luther. Well, what you might not know about Luther is this. I kind of relate to Luther in a certain way. Because Luther's dad worked a very difficult blue-collar job as a copper miner in Germany. He worked his rear end off so that his son, Martin, could go to school and become a lawyer. Well, in the midst of his studies, he was taking a break and he was working in the copper mines with his dad. And as he left the copper mines one day, this incredibly violent thunderstorm broke out. Well, the copper miners tended to pray and seek intervention from a particular Catholic saint, Saint Anne, who was the patron saint of miners. And so Luther found himself with lightning strikes hitting all around him. I don't know if you've ever been on the business end of a lightning strike or had one hit next to you during the monsoon season. I've had that happen to me out trail running before, and it's a scary situation. Well, Luther thought that his life was over in the midst of this thunderstorm, so he cried out to Saint Anne, "Saint Anne, save me, and if you save me, I'll become a monk." Well, he survived the thunderstorm and told his dad, "I made a promise to Saint Anne. I can't break it. I'm going to become a monk." And his dad just hit the ceiling. He was so disappointed in his son for going into the ministry, so to speak. And so Luther became a monk. And let me tell you something. When he became a monk, he went whole hog. He was going to sincerely serve God as he felt his religious obligations led him to serve God. But then he started noticing something. As zealous as he was for serving God and keeping all the rules, he discovered that other monks and other spiritual people, weren't so sold out after all. There was all kinds of corruption, all kinds of game playing, rule manipulating going on in the Roman Catholic Church that he was exposed to. And he became so frustrated about that, and he said to himself, "Surely, if I go to Rome, I will find the pure faith. Surely, those who live in Rome, the center of the Roman Catholic Church, these are the ones who are serious about all this. So he made a pilgrimage to Rome. About halfway down to Rome, while he was in the Swiss Alps, he became ill and spent some time in a monastery. And he shared with one of the friars there the struggle that he was having personally about the hypocrisy in the church. And this wise old monk said to him, you know, you really ought to read the book of Habakkuk. And so Luther was a scholar and was fluent in Hebrew, and so he read the book of Habakkuk, and he said, I want you to really remember this one verse, the just shall live by faith. And Luther went, well, okay, I'll file it away for future reference. So he finally recovered, made his way down to Rome, and one of the highlights of going to Rome, if you were a pilgrim during that time, was ascending a artifact that was known as the Scala Sancta, literally the holy staircase. It was the staircase that, St. Catherine, who was the mother of Constantine, deemed, for no historical or archaeological reasons whatsoever, to be the staircase that Jesus ascended to when he went to his trial with Pontius Pilate. And on this particular staircase, it was all in marble, and they had little icons that were in the staircase where supposedly the drops of Jesus' blood had fallen there. And so if you were going to go to Rome, man, you had to go to the Scala Sancta. You had to accomplish that. And the rumor was if you ascended that staircase and prayed and beat yourself at every one of those little icons that marked the blood of Jesus, that you got 1,000 years off of purgatory. It was a big, big draw. So Luther goes to Rome. He goes around Rome and he discovers something that horrified him. The conditions, the compromise, the corruption in Rome had Germany beat all to pieces. And he was going through this crisis of faith. How can I invest my life in this thing when it's all just a bunch of hypocrisy and religious game playing? And so he went to the Scala Sancta and he thought, maybe if I ascend this, maybe I'll have my spiritual breakthrough. And so he began to ascend the stairs, and he would beat himself, and he would pray, and he would kiss the little icons there that marked supposedly the place where Jesus' blood dropped on this thing. Again, no historical or archaeological evidence to suggest this, but he was doing that. And about halfway up, suddenly that thought came to him. The just shall live by faith, not by works, not by deeds, not by joining the right church. I can be made right with God by faith alone. We were told halfway up the Scala Sancta, he tossed aside his little beating stick, walked back down, and never looked back. Luther later wrote this about the experience. He said this, although I was a holy and irreproachable monk, my conscience was full of trouble and anguish. I could not bear the words justice of God. I loved not the just and holy God who punishes sinners. I was filled with secret rage against him and hated him because not satisfied with terrifying his miserable creatures already lost by original sin with his law and the miseries of life, he still further increased our torment by the gospel. But when, by the Spirit of God, I comprehended these words, the just shall live by faith, when I learned how the sinner's justification proceeds from the pure mercy of the Lord by means of faith, then I felt myself revived like a new man and entered at the open doors into the very paradise of God. From that time also, I beheld the precious sacred volume with new eyes. I went over all the Bible and collected a great number of passages which taught me what the work of God was. And as I had previously with all my heart hated the words justice of God, so from that time I began to esteem and love them as words most sweet and most consoling. In truth, these words to me were the true gate of paradise. How do you view the righteousness of God? What makes you right with God today? If you're frustrated and flummoxed and stuck in your same old ways, maybe, just maybe, it's because you bought into religion rather than a relationship. Maybe, just maybe, what you call your relationship with God is more about what you do for Jesus than anything he ever did for you. If that's the case, the doors of paradise lay open wide for you this morning. Like Luther, you can set aside whatever it is you've been beating yourself up over all these years. Walk down off the scaffold of religiosity and enter into the nail-scarred embrace of Jesus who loves you and gave himself for you. And all he asks of you is to believe him, to put your faith in him. From faith to faith, a right relationship with God is revealed. And here's a newsflash. It ain't found anywhere else. We're going to discover this in 4D as we go through the book of Romans. Let's thank the Lord for the awesome salvation he's given to us in Christ. Father, as we come before you, Lord, I just think there's so many of us, like Luther, who probably for the best intentions of the world, think that by being good little boys and good little girls that somehow we'll earn or merit or deserve your favor. I know there are probably some among us that have such haunting memories of things they've done and said that they can't believe that you would ever accept them, that you would ever forgive them. Lord, I know there are some who perhaps are patting themselves on the back with their own self-righteous religiosity and feel like they're doing their share and that they're a good person and they're going to make it to heaven someday based on this. Lord, I pray that your word, the good news, that Jesus was willing to die for us and bear all of our sins and rise from the dead in a moment of history and give us the power of your spirit, Lord, to be a new and different person. I pray that would rock and change our lives, that we would finally grasp that. But Lord, unless your spirit makes that real to us, boy, it's like explaining physics to a cow. We're just never going to get it. But I thank you, Lord, that you stand ready to either reveal to us for the very first time or maybe reveal to us in a deeper and fuller way how far we've strayed from this glorious, beautiful, simple gift, being right by you, with you, in you, by faith and that alone. The just shall live by faith. Oh, Lord, make us a church that is filled with people who are satisfied customers, who have that transforming experience with you so that we can really bear good fruit, not because we're trying to make up for our past, not because we're trying to justify ourselves in fear of our future, but simply because we've tasted and seen that you're good and that blessed is the one who puts their trust in you. Thank you for this exciting journey we're embarking on. Write these truths in our heart. Change our lives. In Jesus' name.
Scott Richards of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson. Be sure to join us again at this same time as we continue our journey through the entire Bible here on Sunrise. We'd also like to extend an invitation for you to join us for worship and the study of God's Word. Calvary Christian Fellowship is located on the northwest side of Tucson. Just go one block west of Interstate 10 on Prince Road and then two blocks north. Service times are 9 and 11 a.m. on Sundays. Our midweek Oasis service gets underway every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Our Video Extension campus meets in Oro Valley every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. at the Lehman Academy. To join us, go one block north of Tangerine on La Cañada Road. To personally connect with us or to order an audio copy of what you heard on today's broadcast, visit our website at calvarychristianfellowship.com. That's calvarychristianfellowship.com. If you have questions concerning Calvary Christian Fellowship, the Bible, prophecy, or personal issues in your walk with God, be sure to join Pastor Scott live on this station for A Reason for Hope every Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Well, thanks again for joining us, and be sure to be listening at the same time for more of Sunrise with Scott Richards.